Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 4, Brian Hayes, Yodog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. We will be playing some sort of a game at 5:30. Who knows what it could be? Who knows who we'll hear from today? But I'm looking forward to that. Leafs in action tonight. The Jays are in action tonight. We are, what, about 72 hours away from the Stanley Cup playoffs? You know, kicking off with the Bruins and the Capitals, and it's just a matter of routine. Let's just get through.
It's already started, Hazy. Peter Laviolette had a beautiful interview yesterday where I'm assuming the reporter was from Boston, and they asked Lavi, like, if he'd ever – how are you going to shut down the perfection line? And he basically was like, come again? Like, he was acting like he had no idea what the perfection line was.
I agree. But, like, outside of Boston, I wouldn't know who I mean, I knew who he was assuming. I would assume that
Noodles,
it was
Bergeron's perfection line.
Everyone knows it. But you don't – I understand what you're saying is be a professional. Don't ask the opposing coach about the perfection line.
Yeah,
say
the
Bergeron
the
line.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I guess, you know what, you're right. When you're asking the opposition coach, don't call it that.
Right, right. Like that was a homer. It was a homer question, which is fine. We all see it, and that was him. It was somebody from Boston asking.
Can we please get that audio?
I thought it was brilliant.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
I thought his reaction was brilliant because you could tell he knew what he was talking about. I think it was Haggerty. Was it? I think it was Haggerty that asked the question, and. You know, it's fine. Everyone knows the Bergeron line. He could have just said the top line. Why is it, like, why do we have to call him the perfection line?
Yeah, asking the opposing coach the perfection line, you're asking for
a
response.
Dude, it's greasy.
Like that.
I love it. It's the playoffs. I love it.
It is. And Laviolette knows exactly what he was asking. He knew exactly where he was going with it. And he's playing coy, which is, I think, hysterical.
Lavi was acting so offended. He's like, I can't believe you're asking me this. Yeah. And he's like, I think his first one was, can you ask that again? And he just couldn't understand it or acted like he didn't understand it.
Yeah. Which I think this should become a thing now where every local media asking the opposing coach something based on a reference of the team that they cover.
Right.
You know, just to see if you can get a reaction out of it. Like if you're, let's say you're Toronto media, you can ask Dominique Ducharme next week, how are you going to stop Mr. 40? How are you going to stop 40?
Yeah, but,
40
no, but you would know.
Pappy and Marnes.
Yeah, Pappy. But like, yeah, what do you think? You know, how are you going to shut down Pappy? Not everyone knows that Austin Matthews is called Pappy or Willie Stiles. Like, what do you, you know, Stiles is going to be settling in. Who? Like, we are familiar with it because it's our market. But that's why I was like, I get it, and we all knew. But I thought Laviolette was brilliant. And whether it was calculated or not, he was not letting them off the hook. He was going to make them ask it again. And
he's not the only coach that would do that. He's not.
No.
Like, Daryl Sutter would have the same reaction.
John Tortorella
would have the same reaction. A lot of guys would just say, I'm not talking about the opponents. I find that's a move that a lot of coaches decide to give up, which personally I find very frustrating because why not? You're about to play in a playoff series. You can't talk about the opponent. You can't acknowledge their existence. But like Tortorella's been famous for that for the longest time. Not talking about the other team. Well, we're trying to prepare for the playoffs. Like you're going to play them a minimum of four times. You can't
acknowledge that they exist. Don't go there, Portsy.
Yeah, Portsy, don't do it. Don't do it, Portsy.
It's funny. I don't know if you guys saw. Like, obviously, Torts is moving on, and you know, people are linking him to the Rangers already. But like, there were some fantastic comments coming out about you know John Tortorella the person. I don't know if you saw like how like he treated the media like away from the camera and that. I thought it was kind of neat because
I've always heard that. I think we all have. Like he's a good guy. Like I've never heard anyone say anything disparaging about him. It's just the way he acts when he's on the podium or behind the bench at times. And that's the job. That's the professional John Tortorella. And then there's the personal John Tortorella, which I think applies. It does. It applies with everybody in every walk of life. You know, like who you are at home and who you are at a restaurant or behind the scenes in public life. It generally there are, you know, people that have two different fronts. Maybe it doesn't mean that their morals or ethics are different, but the way they approach the camera or the mic or whatever might be different than the way they would speak or interact with people around the table. And I saw that, and I'm not surprised. I've heard that about Tortorella. Ray, yeah. Ray knows him pretty well, and Ray's always said that. Loves Tortorella. Thinks he's a great guy. Doesn't mean he loves all the antics.
No.
You know, and I think that is something that maybe it's on us to clarify every once in a while, because I get the impression, and I can understand why, some people in the audience are like, wow, it's really personal. And I'm like, it's never personal. It's I'm talking about the athlete here. I'm talking about the team. I'm talking right. about the GM, not the person, the coach, not the person. And yeah. there really are two separate conversations there.
You're bang on. And I'll be honest, like I didn't think like Quinn was going to last there. Like the firing today, like, they're going to be looking for a veteran coach to push them over the top.
One, no noodles. I love that. Like, oh, we got to get a young, inexperienced guy that's got a different voice from somewhere else. 3 years later, got to get an experienced guy in there. It's like, what?
It's true. But my point being is not every, like, thinking outside the box, like, just because you're a good coach in college doesn't always translate to the NHL. Like, that's really what it is. You've got to find the right person, whether it's an old grizzled guy or a younger progressive guy, you know, but Quinn didn't seem like a fit there. Like, if you were going to get them to the next level, maybe he was going to be the placeholder until the team
was ready.
Well, it would
appear that's the case. I mean, if you're not familiar with it, David Quinn, the head coach of the Rangers, was fired earlier today. I read it differently than that. What appears to me is the owner wanted someone to tell him that this team should have been a playoff team. And because they weren't, everyone's got to go. You know, basically, like, everyone's got to go, and Chris Drury's in now. And now it's like playoffs are bust, basically. And I think Strome even admitted to that earlier today. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's our hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro. What's your read on that situation with the Rangers?
Well, I don't know who the owner thought they were going to be better by. Like, how are they supposed to be a playoff favorite? Look at that division. Like, who was... They got a gift that Philadelphia fell apart. But, like, who are they going to beat this year? Like, weren't they doing things kind of in a progression? Like, I thought they were on the right track. So, Chris Drury or the GM, by the way, start firing people. Oh, that must be nice. That must be fun.
That's it. That's honestly how I see it. And I can't sit here and profess that I know the inner workings of the Rangers and David Quinn right. and how well he's coached. I'm not sitting here professing that I do. But I think I've been realistic about the team they have and the letter they sent out a few years ago where they said, we kind of got to bottom out. We're going to build it back up. And it would appear to me as if James Dolan is doing what James Dolan does, and he was waiting for someone to come to him and say, these are the wrong people. It's not good enough. We should be better. I can make them better. And maybe Drury said that, maybe he didn't, but I kind of feel like that's what's happened here. And Dolan just said, unacceptable, everything's got to go because I'm not patient enough. And everyone had to go, and they did.
I don't know Chris Drury really well, but, you know, I've come across him more than a few times. It would be unlikely to me that he went in and said everything that the way Jeff Gorton's running this team is the wrong way. That seems unlikely to the way that Drury kind of is. Right. It seems like they had debates about whether they were further or far enough along or whether they were tough enough. And then that gong show happens with Washington, and it's almost like, okay, that's it. That's the last straw. Everybody, we got to change. Now, you can argue about anybody's coaching. There's always things. I'm sure David Quinn didn't use the right lineup lots of times or didn't coach the right way lots of times, but there comes a point you either think he's the guy to get you to the next level in any team or not. And obviously they determined that since we got a new GM, maybe the GM wants a new look, a new way. It's his money. He can do whatever he wants. It just seemed the whole thing was odd.
Who right would you hire, get-go. Ray?
Oh, well, they've already gone the young guy, so now... Right. Every time you fire one guy, you hire somebody that's different. So I don't think it's another non-NHL coach. Right. Like I just don't think so. Would it be Torts again? Would they go back
no,
there?
No.
I don't know.
You say no like that, but Do you really know?
I don't.
Would it be? What? You know what I mean? Like, it's not as crazy. Like, if he goes, you know what? We had great success under Torts and went to the finals, and we're going to go back to him.
Well,
you know what?
You're right. Like, the only thing is, I look at it as if Chris Drury, if I was handed the keys to the car, I want my people in there. And maybe Chris Drury saw something that he was like, I'm going to change this all right from top to bottom now that it's my show. Now, I don't know if Drury has a good history with a guy like Torts or something, but, you know, I look at the potential coaches that are available. Like, Rick Tocchet's available now. Travis Green might be available. Jerry Gallant's out there. Brucey Boudreau. Like, there's
Babcock
some,
is
Babcock,
out there.
Like, I know his name, but, like, there's some really good coaches out there that aren't just old grizzled guys. And, you know, Gerard Gallant is a really good coach, is really well liked everywhere he went. You know, is he a guy that maybe works well with stars? And they're thinking, you know, are you going to get the most out of Panera and maybe help these young kids? Maybe it is a guy like Travis Green if Vancouver can't sort that out. Or,
well,
you know, Rick Tocchet.
They've got, I mean, whoever gets the job, I think is in a pretty good spot. Like, you know, right. They're not ready to pounce and win a Stanley Cup right away, but. You know, you say get the most out of Panarin. I think he's been exceptional for 2 years under Quinn. How much more are you going to get out of Panarin?
Hart Trophy nominee last year.
Yeah, you're right. You know, I'm not sure what they'd be thinking. And the Babcock name comes to mind more so because I think it's an owner that would be willing to pay the price. Because the Leafs aren't going to let him go if they're still paying him a lot of money. Where Dolan will pick up that tab, no problem. No problem.
Right.
So... I don't know if that makes sense.
Of the names you mentioned, I would say in order, I would say Tocchet's at the top of a list. Tocchet, Gallant, Babcock, Green. But I don't think they're going to hire Babcock. I don't see it. Maybe I'm wrong. It doesn't seem to be the fit. It's like, Too big, too, you know, like the big market, the big personality, that doesn't seem to grab me right away. Rick Tocchet, that, when you mentioned his name, Noodles, that kind of, I went, you know what, that makes a lot of sense.
Right. Now, I don't know if there's any history there, but that's the thing.
No.
Like, you know, Chris Drury, now it's his show. Like, you got to put your neck on the line. Maybe he was sitting there going, yeah, I like David Quinn, but, you know, this is my neck out there now. Like, I might as well do this now and have a clean sweep.
What I don't get, Jamie, though, is it's his show now, but why does that all of a sudden, like, just immediately make David Quinn, like, just not capable of doing the job? I've never really understood that. It's like all of a sudden, David.
Maybe because that's how he got, that was one of the conditions of the job. I'm not firing the coach. You're firing the coach.
That would come back to Dolan, and that wouldn't surprise me at all.
We're going to fire everybody. I want you to be the GM, and I want a new coach. I want a whole new way. That's, in my mind, that's very possible. And so you got to say, okay, do I want the job? I got to fire this guy who, let's assume you think has done a decent job for you or for your organization, and you're like, yeah, I want the job. So I'm going to have to clean it all out.
Right.
This Patrick Laine comment that has been circulating the past 24 hours, and there's potential for some translation, what, you know, mix-ups here.
Lost in translation.
Fall through the cracks. But he was speaking to the media in Finland because he has turned down the invitation to go to the Worlds, which he's not alone. I mean, you look at the Canadian roster, it's a very different year at the Worlds, to put it lightly.
Right.
Very different year. But this was the translation courtesy of a Twitter account. Quote, this is Patrick Laine: "You won't see me at the Worlds because of this season. I can't stand even a game of hockey. It was an absolutely miserable experience team-wise and personally. Only good thing is that the season is over. Everything that could have gone wrong went wrong." End quote. That's blunt. That's quite the analysis. I can't even suggest he's wrong in terms of his own season and what happened to Columbus. They finished dead last in the division. They couldn't win a game the last 20 games. But, you know, this is a guy who he has been overly blunt throughout his career to the point where it sounds like dour or like self-deprecating, and not sure how to get a read on this right. Like where Patrick Laine is at in terms of his career and how he feels about himself and his team and the last sport.
He's the last guy I remember being this blunt, even though they're very different players and personalities, was Ryan O'Reilly, and they traded him, and that was a disaster. So if you had a year like Laine, you've got two options when that question comes to you. You can fire out a line of BS and say, you know, I just need time to regroup after a long year. Or you can say, I hate the game. And remember, Ryan O'Reilly's like, I'm tired of it. Hated it.
Yeah.
Hated the year. I hated it. Well, by the time I finished some of the years I played, I hated it. I couldn't wait to throw my skates in the hockey bag and not open them for months. I couldn't wait. I hated it. But I loved the game. I just hated that year. And I read it, and I'm like, well, there's not much to interpret there. That guy can't get away from the rink fast enough. And what? I don't have a – I mean, I think I can relate to it a little bit.
He just needs, like, an image rebranding, though, come the new year or something. Like a Hollywood movie star that just, I don't know, got in trouble. They need to rebrand themselves because it just – I don't know. I got a taste in my mouth from that, those comments where I'm like, this guy could be as stupid as it sounds. It's almost like where his headspace is at. He could be out of the game in 2 years. I don't know. It's ridiculous.
It's a fall from grace.
Did you think that same thing about O'Reilly?
I didn't, but this was more depressing than O'Reilly's comments.
But you make a great point with O'Reilly. Because all we focused on with O'Reilly's lack of success and his attitude, and he obviously had a thing off the ice, and, you know, like there, people are like, this guy makes a boatload of money. Like he makes $7 million a year, I believe. And it was, you know, right. A big contract, and you're like, God, that doesn't look very good. And then all of a sudden, his passion for the game returned. I thought it was interesting, Kekalainen's comments. I don't know if you saw his year-end availability or what he said, but he almost said, like, I want to give a pass to some of these young players because of how unique this year was. Like the COVID protocols, some guys getting sick, what we went through. He said, I'm not going to just judge them solely on this season. And I almost felt like that was
an easy thing to say, Jamie.
Well, it's not easy if you have to answer to an owner. And, you know, this is a team that had some success last year. You're moving away from the coach. Like, I thought he said, I thought it was directed at guys like Max Domi.
Yeah, but I think it was just an easy excuse for the GM to say, he's like, you know, every team that sucked this year, it's like, you know, COVID, it was tough for the guys. You never hear any good teams talking about that, obviously, because they're in the playoffs. I think it's just an easy excuse for it to throw in, say, we're not going to judge this year. We're going to have a hall pass for everyone.
So what does that mean? You trade everybody?
I don't know.
Say, okay, you had a bad year. Out you go.
No,
I
think
somebody play.
He said the opposite.
Centerman. That's a no. I'm agreeing with you, Noodle, that it's set up for these comments to be made that, look, the coach was done. You know, Torts was done, and I think everybody probably knew that that was the way it was going to be. Werenski was hurt most of the year. They didn't have a centerman. You know, Domi didn't work in the middle at the beginning. They scratched. It was a mess. If they like a lot of their pieces, why are you going to just start trading them all away because of this year? Right. Like, if we think Travis Green's a good coach, which I think we all do, like, would you not look at the Canucks team and go, man, they were brutal half the time? Well, there's lots of factors to it. I like Laine. I know he's I can't say he can be a little, you know what, once in a while, and maybe too often, and maybe that's something they got to talk about. That you got to come back, like, you know, maybe you got to talk to somebody, maybe you got to find a different way to prepare for the game, maybe you got to look at the game a little different. But I'm telling you, there's not many guys that shoot the puck like him. I want to find him somebody to make him better, not find a way to give him away. I think he's too rare a player.
Well, I also think we need some perspective in terms of Columbus being where they are, considering what they did a couple of years ago. Like, this is a team that sold everything they had to go for it, and then everything they had or they kept left, effectively. Right. Like, Bobrovsky left, Panarin left, Duchesne left, Dzingel left. Like, they all left. And last year was kind of a miracle, the season they had. It was an incredible year. They bandied together. They made it work. And they, you know, this year, Seth Jones really had a down year for him, really down year. Werenski had a down year and then injury problems. And I guess I should – I'm not surprised that they had as bad of a year as they did. I didn't think they'd be, you know, crawling to the finish line. Like, by the end, it was almost pathetic to watch. Like, even they were saying, I can't believe this. Like, we can't win. But this was a team that went for it a couple of years ago. It didn't work for them, and now they're kind of paying the price.
That's a good point. And, and, no, it's a good point because, like, what else? What were they going to do? Trade all those guys at the deadline? Like, eventually you have to try to win. They had a really good team. And it didn't work.
Yep.
And so now they got to kind of start again. And, man, that sucks. But I don't know. I guess I wasn't as bothered by it as obviously a lot of other people are. But I just remember, like, coming to the end of the season and going, I can't get out of here fast enough. I was booking my flight home with a week left in the season.
Right. No, that's I'm sure that's happening. Yeah. Think about how many teams are dealing with that right now, where you've been. It's such a weird process because teams have been eliminated, yet they can't go anywhere. They can't really do anything, but they've got to play it out. Like, these Calgary-Vancouver games are going to be the weirdest regular season games
ever
in the history of the league.
Yeah.
Like, they're formalities. They've been the two of them have been moved up. Midweek afternoon games. Both teams are done.
That's the loser's bracket of a tournament.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. This is Belarus against Japan to see who's going to get relegated at the World Juniors or World Championships or whatever. And, yep, they're two NHL teams, and they've got to play. And, you know, if you're the coach, you got to keep coaching. The GM, the owner's watching. You know, like, the same pressure that generally is there from pro sports will, I guess, be hovering. But there's also an acceptance that, what the hell are we doing here? Like, we just got to play. And then there's 16 teams that know they're going, and they're jacked up because they just want this to be over with. Like, the Leafs are going tonight. I'd love to be a fly on the wall to hear what Nick Foligno's saying. Like, I'm sure he's happy. Okay, he avoided injury. He's in the lineup tonight. But, you know, he just wants to dance through tonight and Friday and get to next week. Like, get me out of these next two games, please.
These are the games before the game. The Calgary-Vancouver, you turn around and you say to Noodles, if you freeze the puck, I'm never talking to you again.
Right. Running clock. House rules.
I remember having a game. It might have been the Yaroslav Modrý game, Ray, that you and I played in, where he made the $800,000 block. But I tried to freeze the puck, and the ref was screaming at me, keep it going. Like, that game may have been 2 hours long. And it was just, you know, I didn't play a lot that year, so I wanted to have a good showing heading into the playoffs and stuff.
Good showing.
I think you guys, I think L.A. was done. That was your last game of the season, so it was like, let's just move it along here. But I remember trying to freeze the puck, and I don't know who it was, like Don Massenhoven or whatever, Don Van Massenhoven, screaming at me like, move it, let's go here. Like that, in I knew everyone's mindset that
let's go here. Was the game in L.A.?
It was in L.A.
Yeah. Even better, you know they're dying to get out in L.A. That's the best part about it. End of the season, L.A. Please, enough. Let's go.
The two things I remember saying: no whistles, and there better not be an icing. Get out and play that thing. Like, unless it's so embarrassing, let's roll this thing along here. We all know what the conclusion is. Move it along.
Yeah, and so you kind of have to be a vet, though, to have – like, if you're a kid, you're probably like, what am I supposed to do here? I think I have to play hard and go – but if you're a vet on a guaranteed contract, you must be thinking, this is a joke. Like, get me out of here now.
Yeah.
Do not ruin my goal plans.
A lot of dry T-shirts at the end of the game.
Oh, yeah.
Underneath your equipment.
Yeah, exit meetings while you're coming off the ice.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens tonight. And we just got to get through the next few days, and then it's go time. Playoff hockey next week. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Saturday.
Can't wait for that.
Yep, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, that'll be great.
All right, buddy. Okay, we'll do it again tomorrow.
Have a good one.
There he is, Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com. Yeah, those are the interesting inner workings of a dressing room where, you know, a 20-year-old end of the season, maybe making his debut, like massive game for him. Then the 37-year-old who's played 1,200 games.
It's like, grizzled.
You got to understand, I don't care about this game. And I
Dude,
don't
the silence
play.
Is so, like, palpable. Like you're just usually guys, there's guys, 5 to 6 guys go all the way around the locker room to each guy and say, come on, Hazy B, let's go tonight, do your thing. Okay. And then when it's over, you don't hear one guy say a word because you know there's nothing at stake. It's like, just prepare yourself, be a pro and get through the game. Don't get hurt. If you score, great. But you know, not what? One word. Like, not, come on, boy. Like, you know, it's just nothing.
Oh, do you remember, like, those games, there's the old slap shot saying where it's like, let's really try and win this one. Like, like guys will chuckle because they know it's a throwaway game.
Yeah.
You still have to be a pro. You still have to play it. But, you know, if you know you're in the playoffs, it's like, okay, we got to be smart. Or if you know, I think there's guys that are out of the playoffs going, why the hell would I block a shot today? I don't want to have to go
look
through
at tonight.
Treatment.
Tonight's a perfect example. Toronto and Ottawa. One team thinks they can win a cup, and they have a goal in mind. They want to go win one. The other team knows they're out. And they're done, and it's just, you know,
get some
got
cranky
plans.
Veteran. You get some cranky veteran if you throw out the little, you know, let's do the little things tonight, boys. Come on now, come on now. Somebody would stand up and say, if we did that, we'd be in the playoffs right now, so shut up. Like, there's no commentary whatsoever.
Right. Yeah.
It is a different atmosphere heading into games, and you can tell who hasn't played much. Like, I'm giving my all.
Yeah.
And you can tell other guys who are like, I do not want to get near the puck, and that's what it is.
It's an amazing dynamic. It really is because, again, if you're on a bad team at the end of the year, generally speaking, like, kids are coming up. Someone's making their – some guy's been in the American Hockey League for 500 games. And they're like, you're a soldier, you work hard, you're a good guy, we're calling you up. Your family's in town. It's the Stanley Cup final for him.
Yeah.
Like, he cannot wait to play, and he's nervous. He couldn't have a game day, you know – nap. Meanwhile, there's another guy in there who's got 3 kids, a stash, he's got a U-Haul pack.
He's already planning. Exactly. Yeah. You guys remember that Jason Blake?
Oh,
he played that game. He scored his first career goal on me, and I'll never forget how mad Al MacInnis was. I think he stripped the puck off of Al's stick and then, like, jammed it in on me, and Al, like, wanted to break his arm off, like, because it was like this Blake was flying around trying as hard as Al was just trying to make it through the game, you know?
Right.
It's kind of funny.
Yeah, but that's the two different dynamics.
Exactly.
Absolutely. All right, so we'll spin the wheel of misfortune, see what happens, see what we're playing today. Lots of potential options, as we know, Wednesdays at 5:30. We'll get to that next.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for the Wheel of Misfortune.
All right, yes it is. Thank you, Al's brother. I feel like the beginning of Jeopardy. Thank you, Al's brother. We are here to play the Wheel of Misfortune, and we know the way this works. We spin the wheel, we see what we're playing. There's a lot of different options, plethora of options. So let's stop wasting time here. Let's spin it and see what we're playing.
Thank you.
Jerry!
That is so obnoxious and so ignorant and unnecessary, quite frankly.
And it's foreign to me, the gold dust. Can you play just the sniff and the Jerry Mulls? Like,
Jerry!
Yeah, okay, Jerry's here. He's sniffing around. And
actually, I guess so.
I was tipped off that Jerry might be a part of this because someone sent me a very rude, like, note, just one sentence saying, don't be an idiot, and I have a statement. Because Jerry was famous for his opening statements back in the day, but we haven't really heard from him in quite some time. So let's get to his opening statement, then we'll get to the hot takes.
Jerry's been out of the opening statement game since my world-renowned semi-retirement kicked in. But I'm feeling frisky and in the mood for one more horny statement. And that's because Jerry's sniffing out an All-American Cup final. Nobody cares about the Canadian playoffs, and Jerry loves it.
That is a rotten human being right there.
It's bold. He doesn't, I'll give him this, he doesn't play to, he doesn't cater to anybody up here. He's on a Canadian show, and he allows his biases to ring true, man. He doesn't care for the Canadian playoff structure. He just doesn't, and he's sniffing out an All-American Cup final. So there you have it. Opening statement from Jerry. This is going to be fun. We haven't played this in a while. Let's get to the hot takes.
As much as Jerry and hockey fans around the world couldn't care less about the Canadian playoffs, Jerry knows who butters the bread on this stupid show. So here's some crumbs for you pigeons. One of the opening round playoffs in Canada will finish in a sweep.
Ooh. Wow.
That's a take.
I'm going to go 65% of that happening. I'm, and you guys probably know which way I'm leaning towards that.
Well, yeah, you said it yesterday.
Yeah, we know.
Okay, I'm not going to get into it, but I just think there's a 65% chance of that happening. I obviously think Winnipeg by Edmonton could go 5 or 6 games, possibly 7. So,
65%. One of them is a sweep. Okay, Noodles. I feel like you're going to be closer to zero on this.
Yeah, I'll be 8%. I mean, you know, it doesn't mean I don't believe who I think will win. It's just I think, you know, you might get a goalie stands on your head. You might get, you know, an off night. Like there's a lot of things still to be determined. I mean, it could happen. There's no. You know, the way things look sometimes, and especially right now, absolutely. But I'm going to be low on it. It's still the playoffs. You're going to get the best of everyone. So I'm going to say 8%.
8%. Yeah, I'm going to be somewhere in the middle there. I do think there is certainly potential for both Toronto and Edmonton. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I think Montreal can sweep the Leafs. Not going to happen. Winnipeg can sweep Edmonton. Not going to happen. But I do think there's potential that both could end up in a sweep. Doesn't mean they both will, but I could see Edmonton running off a, you know, quick, like look at the way Winnipeg's playing right now. It's a mess. I'll say 25%. 25%. So I'm still leaning towards it going at least 5 games, if not more. But there's certainly a chance with the way these 4 teams match up right now.
Mac Jones will be the week 4 starting quarterback of the Patriots when Tom Brady and the Bucs roll through Foxborough.
Yeah, that's a big one today that Tampa will be in New England week 4 Sunday night football. That is Brady's return to Foxborough.
Dude, I would do anything to go to that game. I would be there. And I know what's the date?
It's week 4, so it'll be end of September, maybe first weekend of October.
If any way I can go, Hazy, we're going.
I totally agree. Sunday night or two. We can get on a bird Monday morning and be back for the show.
No kidding.
Yeah,
great.
I totally agree. That's the regular season game of the year.
No kidding.
It's opening night, too. It's a Thursday night. It's the Cowboys at the Bucks, which is a great call. Like, that'll be Dak Prescott. Should be back. Should be fine. Brady and the champs back down in Tampa. Pack barn. This season's going to be awesome in the NFL because they are going to make it bigger and better than ever. Post-COVID,
oh my God,
it's going to be nuts.
Talk about a guy buying into the scheduling hype.
I love the scheduling hype. I love it.
Yeah, you're in full Joe from the Bridge mode right now. It's going to be the best season ever. Oh my God.
I can't wait for it. NFL Network tonight. I'll be all over it. So Mac Jones, though, is the counter to Tom Brady week 4 at Foxborough.
14%. I think he's going to watch Cam Newton play this year. 14%. I don't see Belichick pulling that move. He's got to do a little bit of Mahomes, Alex Smith.
I mean,
Jones isn't going to be Mahomes, but I know what you're saying in terms of.
Yeah, he's got to sit around and watch.
Yeah, earn it a little bit. Yeah. Belichick's an old school guy. I think he'll kind of bleed him into the lineup, too. Like, not opening night. I'm going to be low on this, too. I'll be 10%.
Well, and also, obviously they believe in Mac Jones, which they should. They better. They drafted him 15th overall. I mean, that's going to be a big moment, though. Do you want to put him in a position where you're up against Brady? You know, right. Like, unless he wins the job out of camp. If he wins the job out of camp, it's his job. Like, then he's starting week 1. Of course, he's going to be starting week 4. But if he doesn't win the job out of camp and it's Cam's job, why would you switch before by week four and say Mac Jones is the guy, especially with Brady in town? I'll say I'm going to go a little bit higher than you guys because he might win it out of camp. Like he's an older kid in terms of what he's done at Alabama, but I'll say 20%. 20%.
The next time Nate the Wild Thing Pearson comes up with the Jays, he'll be in the bullpen. Maybe he's like the real Wild Thing and he needs glasses.
I hadn't thought of that. Maybe Charlie Montoyo could play the role of Lou Brown and offer up that option. But Jerry's got him coming back up at some point, but as a bullpen arm, not a starter.
Ooh.
I don't see this. That's a spicy one. Didn't this happen a few years back with Sanchez?
Yep, absolutely.
I just think this is different. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm going to say 25% that happens.
I'm low on this, too, because I think it comes back up when they think he's ready. Like, they're not going to force feed him and rush him back up. Like, I think he'll be down there a little longer. Like, I'm low on this. I don't think he's going to be – unless you want to get him up and just protect him. Is that what you're thinking, or Jerry's thinking?
Well, I'm wondering if maybe it's later in the season now. You know,
right.
Like maybe he's got to go back, and his arm is what it is, and maybe
right.
They've established a rotation. Maybe it gets to a point where they acquire someone for the rotation before the trade deadline, and when he comes up, they look at it more as, you know, we need you out of the bullpen. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. Until you establish yourself as a true rotation guy, they, you know, the team's in it to win it. They might have to fill out their roster whichever way they see fit. But listen, he is a starter. He has to become a starter for them. Like, that's
right.
What he's training to be. That's what he is programmed to be. So I'm kind of with you guys. I'm not going to say it's out of the realm of possibility, but it doesn't seem like something they've been overly interested in. They want him as a starting arm. They believe he's got the stuff to do it. I'll say 30%.
I'm 16%.
Okay.
What if John Tortorella or Mike Babcock are behind the NHL bench to start next season? Imagine Babs in NYC telling defensemen they can't play in the league while they're actually really good. Whatever, Babs.
Yeah, him in New York, that would not be a subtle reintroduction to the league. I think you could.
I'm
going to
say 100% one of them are in the NHL next year. 100%.
I agree with you, and I'm 100 is a bit rich for me, but you keep hearing there might be upwards of close to 11 teams that need coaches with the shuffle. And guys, you know, Arizona, because talk gets out, like what's going on with Blashill in Detroit, that type of – and there might be a surprise coach that gets let go because of things that go south in the playoffs. So I think it's close. I'll say 82% that one of them is in the show next year.
Yeah, I think it feels like it's more likely it'd be Tortorella, which is saying something, because he was employed like 24 hours ago, and Babcock's been out for
right. –
you know, a year and a half, give or take, because it's just such a weird vibe hanging around Mike Babcock and the amount of money the Leafs are paying him. So, you know, if the team's going to hire him, the Leafs aren't going to let him off the hook for you to pay him $600,000 to coach somewhere else. Like, you're probably going to have to pick up a large portion of the ticket, if not all of it. So I think that might shorten the list. They're both guys that are not going to take over a team that's awful. You know, like, they're not going to Buffalo.
No.
I don't picture that. You know, like Babcock did it in Toronto. I don't see him doing it again. Tortorella's not the right guy for that. So you're also looking at a limited amount of options, and I think they're both kind of fighting for the same job. Wouldn't you say? Like
right.
They're both kind of similar in terms of who they are and what they've done. But I'll say 75%. I do think it's likely because of the job turnover, like you suggested. I think it's more likely it's Tortorella. But
right.
The resumes speak for themselves. You know, like they are good coaches and they get jobs done and they win games and they turn around programs. That's what their history's been. So I'll say 75%.
Patrick Laine, whose constant whining has been driving Jerry nuts lately, will not have another season of 40 or more goals in his career. I used to be an offensive player. I hate hockey. Blah, blah, blah. Jerry.
He hates on Patrick Laine. That's
yeah,
personal.
Really.
That's not professional anymore, Jerry. That's not how we roll here. But that's quite the statement. You know, this is a line. He's hit 40 before. He's been high 30s before. Came into the league. We thought this guy would rack up four or five rockets. If you don't hit 40, you're not going to win a rocket. And Jerry's saying it's not going to happen.
I'm low on this. Yeah. I think he's hitting 40. I, you know, you got to find, like Ray said, you got to find the right people to feed him. And the player has to be motivated. Team has to be. But I just think he's too good. Like, he has too hard of a shot. You got to place him in situations. We'll see
who
the new coach
is. He's got to get to a situation where he's got a dynamic centerman, and this is a ridiculous thing of a want or a need for him. But if you found him with a Sidney Crosby type at 25 years old that could say, listen, much like when I met Gary Roberts, I'm not Patrick Laine, but it's just a different voice and a different leadership role telling you how things work. That's what he needs, and I think he'll find it somewhere because somebody will take a chance. So I'm very low on this, 7%. Actually, I'll go 29%.
Oh, ooh, that's a quick turn. But I'm low on this as well. He's got too much talent. He has the ability to do it. It's not like you're picking some random third-line guy in the league. Do things have to break his way? Of course they do. Do I think it'll necessarily happen in Columbus? Maybe not. But I wouldn't be shocked if in 3 years he's somewhere else and he's still 27, 28, and he catches a heater and boom, he scores 40, 41, 43, you know, whatever it is. So I'll say 10%. He's clearly in a bad place right now, and I don't think he's not going to develop into the best goal scorer in the league. Like, that was a legitimate conversation, which was worthy of a conversation when he came in. I don't see that happening. Like, Matthews is ahead of him. There's other guys in the league that are just ahead of him and better at scoring at him. At the NHL level, but he's still got all the tools. He just needs the toolbox. He needs a little help, a little luck. I think it's possible for him, for sure.
Yeah, I don't know if I put a percentage. I'm like 2%.
2%.
He's gonna hit it.
Okay, that's a lot of confidence. But I guess we're all pretty low on that. We all feel like, even with everything we've been talking about here with Laine, it's a matter of time before something connects for him.
Right.
Jerry's After Dark in about an hour, so more Jerry still to come. We love that. Jays in action tonight. Leafs in action tonight. Our Byron Nelson picks coming up with a new format. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Jerry's After Dark in about an hour. Leafs in action tonight in Ottawa. And the Jays are back in action down in Atlanta. And Ryu on the mound. Freddie Anderson in net. And I'm curious to see how Freddie looks tonight. I mean, that ultimately is the story. You just want health. You want a good game. But it's been quite some time since we saw Freddie Anderson in net. So we'll get back into that into the next hour. Darren Dreger will join us. We'll get to our Byron Nelson picks. And I guess the O-Dog is working on a new format for making golf picks. And I'm curious to see what that looks like. And, again, the NFL scheduling, which really is it's pretty outrageous that this is a big event. It speaks to the magnitude of the NFL, but also how people are just craving NFL content.
Oh,
because,
my God, dude.
It's a schedule that comes out tonight. And it's the biggest thing south of the border. Like, the biggest news story is who's playing week 3 in New Orleans. You know, like, what's going to happen with the Bills week 12? You know, and it's like must-see TV. And all these networks are unveiling the games. And opening night will be Thursday night down in Tampa. Dallas in Tampa. I like that. And,
dude, that's just the part of the engine. Like, this day fires up all the people, and they keep that going until the season starts.
Well, you know what, like, you get? You get people booking tickets, booking
flights.
Sure.
Right.
Like, immediately, especially coming out of COVID.
Golf trips, vacations, all based around this travel schedule.
Absolutely. Like, we've all done it. You guys have played games. You guys have called games. I've been on trips in the States. I remember I was in Nashville. I was in Nashville 5 years ago, whatever it was. The Steelers were playing the Titans Monday night. And we went down, I want to say we went down on a Thursday. Maybe it was a Friday. It was all Pittsburgh the whole weekend. Like, from Friday afternoon.
Did you go to the game?
To go to the game on the Monday night.
Did you go?
No, I was out of there by Sunday, dude. I had to get out of there quickly.
That's amateur hour. You know that. You got to go to the game.
I probably, in retrospect, wish I could. But 48 hours or 72 hours in Nashville on a bachelor party, I was not in any state to go to a game the next night. I had to get home.
Wasn't this the nonsense too, where you like stayed?
You probably
like,
missed Monday work.
Didn't
too.
You say in like a suburb or something?
No, that was in Austin. That's when we went to Texas.
Yeah, that story still pains me.
My dopey buddy was dating some girl who claimed to have some connection.
You stayed at the Hampton Inn, 47 miles away from.
We were basically in San Antonio.
Yeah.
And we were supposed to be in Austin. And
dude, I would have done my own thing and said, guys,
we should have.
We're relocating. Like, sorry.
Yeah. We should have flown in, got to the place, and said, absolutely not.
No.
Take us back downtown. And we're finding an Airbnb or something. Like, this just isn't going to fly.
That's also amateur hour.
Amateur hour, that's right. Yeah. I can't disagree with you there. Final hour coming up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.